song. Yes, it is.
Good evening. Daylan, appreciate your song leading. Good job. It's great to hear these young people singing up here. I love sitting in front because I get to hear them. And for those of y'all back there, you're missing out, aren't they? But appreciate everyone that moved up and are sitting with these young people. It's not that it's not okay for y'all to sit where you're at. That's just fine, because I know some of you it's hard to move. But you miss out. And speaking of missing out, if y'all were not here after worship this morning and engaged with these young people, you missed out again. We had a wonderful time, didn't we? And we missed out on pizza, too. Everybody stayed, got to eat pizza, and the young people had a wonderful time, and we learned something. John, appreciate your devotional. John told me in the week that he was wanting to do a devotional on the importance of recognizing the gifts that are given to us and who gives us those gifts. Which, John, you know this. Not only was I able to come up with the devotional for you, but that also led to the writing of the bulletin article that's in the bulletin today. So I appreciate your suggestion. I'd like for you to take your Bibles, turn to Luke chapter 2. We're going to study some more about something that is significant. One of the things that we see this time of year, as we mentioned this morning, is when it comes to what the Scripture says about the birth of Christ. Oftentimes, what people do with it and their depictions of it this time of year are not accurate. Therefore, it's important that our young people, as well as us, know what is accurate and what the truth is. And so that's why it's good to take a look at all of Scripture, but especially the New Testament in relationship to what has been written and the details that are given to us. And also with that, we want to respect the silence of the Scriptures. We've got to be really careful there, because we don't want to fill in the blanks, do we, with our thinking and call it God's Word. That creates its own challenges. But one of the things that we read about in Luke chapter 2 is that, yes, Jesus is born. And I want to start out verse 1. It came to pass in those days that a decree went out from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be registered. Verse 2, then census first took place while Quirinius was governing Syria. So all went to be registered, everyone to his own city. Now, we don't do that today, do we? But yet we do in a way, because we have our different laws that require us to make ourselves known. They're going to do a census this next year, I understand. And so we have some concept of that. But then verse 4, Joseph also went up from Galilee out to the city of Nazareth into Judea to the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and the lineage of David. So if I ask these young people, where was Jesus born? They're going to say Bethlehem. They know the fact. And that's biblically correct. He came with to be registered with Mary, his betrothed wife, who was with child. And so it was while they were there, the days were completed for her to be delivered. And that's exactly what happened. And parents, I'll let you explain that detail when it's appropriate to your children. Verse 7, and she brought forth her firstborn son, wrapped him in swaddling clothes. And this son was unlike any of the others that she would have. Laid him in a manger because there was no room for them where? In the inn. That's what the Scripture says. Now, verse 8, I want you to notice this. Now there were in the same country shepherds living out in the fields, keeping watch over their what? Their flock. And what's a flock? Of what? Sheep. And what do you see on the screen tonight? If you look real carefully, if you can make it out, it's sheep. And what are these shepherds doing? They're overlooking the flock. And they get a visit. Verse 9, behold, an angel of the Lord stood before them. The glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were greatly afraid. And that would scare me to death, too, wouldn't it? They weren't expecting that. They're out there with their sheep. They're on watch to make sure that there's no wolves that invade the flock, making sure that all the sheep are accounted for, and they get a visit. It wasn't one they expected, was it? Then verse 10, the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which will be to all people. For there is born to you this day in the city of David a Savior who is who? Jesus Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign to you. You will find a babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying where? Where are they going to find him? In the manger." And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill towards men." Now, what I would like for you to do is take out your songbooks. We're not going to sing right now, but we're going to look at words. And turn to 1003. What song do we have there? Silent Night. And I want you to look at the top of the page. You're going to see there that they, and this is speaking of the shepherds we just read about, and they came with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying where? In the manger. And then that has following what song? Silent Night. How many of you have sung this song? How many of you enjoy the melody of the song? How many of you are even touched emotionally by the song? It's one of those songs that gets your attention and you almost can feel the effect of it. Look at the words. Silent night, holy night, all is calm. All is bright, round yon virgin mother and child, holy infant so tender and mild, sleep in what? And we hope so, right? Fourth verse, silent night, holy night, all is calm. All is bright, round yon virgin. That's almost a tongue twister, isn't it? Round yon virgin, mother and child, holy infant, so tender and mild, sleep in what? Heavenly please, peace. And that makes you feel calm, doesn't it, when you think about that? But here's something I want you all to know. This song, if you look down there, in fact, let's open that opener books up, 1003 again. I've just closed mine. But I want you to look at who wrote the words to the song. He was a German. In fact, he was a child born of an illegitimate relationship. Mother had three children. He was one of three. His father was a soldier who abandoned his children. He was actually raised and influenced mostly by what was called the Godfather. That wasn't the one from the movie. Interestingly enough, the Godfather was the local executioner. But this man, despite that background, was raised to become what was known as a Catholic priest. And back in the 1800s, the area where he was at just finished with the Napoleon Wars. And he is walking one evening late, apparently out on a hillside, and he's able to stop a moment and take notice of how peaceful it was since war had subsided. And it was from that and his obvious influence of understanding what had occurred with Jesus in the beginning, Luke chapter 1 and 2, that he decided to write the words to the song, Silent Night. But it was actually there because of the peace that he saw because the wars had ceased. And you can read more of his history online if you want to do so. But once again, he wrote those words, Silent Night, Holy Night. Now, with all that being said, let's go back to the title of the lesson. What do you see there, Alex? The not so silent night. I want to offer to everyone here tonight this statement. And moms, you don't even need me to say it, because you know. But as you look at Scripture unfold, it truly was not so silent a night. What do we mean? Well, first of all, just to reiterate, we don't actually know when this occurred, do we? We learned that this morning. I'm not going to spend very much time here. But I want you to look at verse 11. For there is born to you this day in the city of David a Savior who is Christ the Lord. So the baby is born. Where's the baby born at? In a manger. About all we know is that in the time that the days were completed for her to be delivered, and she was born in the days of Herod the king. So that gives us the time reference in relationship to the period in which Jesus was born. But we do not know what the day. We don't know where that what that actual day was, and Mary didn't tell us, did she? But this night was anything but, if this occurrence with the shepherd's visit wasn't night, from which the song reflects, it was not so silent a night. We've already noted that Joseph goes up Galilee. There he brings his betrothed wife. She is to be delivered, and she brings forth her son. And once again, when Mary brought forth her son, as we all know, it's not such a silent time, is it? And here you see this mom, and she's in tears. Why? Because she's rejoicing. Why? Well, we hope so. And we all know, don't we, parents, what she went through to produce that child, right? And that's not such a silent time either, but that's something for the parents to explain to the children we don't spend time on. But we understand, don't we? And so there she, here's this lady's holding this baby, and she's, we're going to call it tears of joy, right? That's not such a silent time, is it? She brought forth her firstborn son, wrapped him in swaddling clothes, laid him in the manger. And what do we have? We have Jesus born of Mary by the Spirit of God in the flesh. And then she was able to place him, because there was no room in the inn, in what? In the manger. And what is the manger? It's a feeding trough, Alex, correct. Now, think about that feeding trough, where it's at. Where do they put feeding troughs? How many of y'all been checked in the Holiday Inn and you've got a feeding trough in your room? Now, some hotels I've checked in that were not the Holiday Inn looked like they'd had it one or two a minute. But where do you put feeding troughs? Scott, you ever seen feeding troughs in a barn? All the time. So he was born where there was a feeding trough. Now, here's the question. Was it a silent time for the baby? Why not? What do you find in places where they have feeding troughs? Animals. Unless God intervened in almost in a miraculous way, those animals would have been doing what? What animals do, you're right. Now, I have to ask the young people something and the adults too. Can you name one animal that was not in that barn? That's possible. You have donkeys, horses, maybe cows, sheep. What animal was not to be found in the Jewish barn? Pigs. Bacon, yeah. Pigs. Probably not a cheetah or a lion, either one. But what do normal animals that you would find in a Jewish barn They would eat out of feeding trough. What would they do? All night? Not too many of them would sleep, because putting animals with humans when it's not a normal occurrence is a problem, isn't it? And also, if you've got people coming to the inn, they're coming in just like Mary and Joseph, and you have to wonder how many people were also looking for a place to rest. We don't know anything about that. That's the silence of Scripture. But what we do know is where he was placed. And we don't know how noise it was, how much noise the animals made, but I have difficulty accepting that it was such a silent night. Now, here's another question. What do babies do when they're hungry? How does a baby let mom know they're hungry? Well, they wake up dad and he elbows mom and says, "Hey, the baby needs fed." Is that how it happened at your house? Kathy's going, "Yeah, it is." They're wore out, so they're trying to get that peaceful sleep during a silent time. But what's dad do? Well, when babies are hungry, they start crying. That's not a silent night. In fact, isn't it amazing how you can hear your babies 2 or 3 rooms away when they start crying? Isn't it amazing that piercing sound can be heard so vividly? Because they like to do this. They like to cry. There's one song sung this time of year. It speaks of Jesus who shed no tears as a baby. Did Jesus get hungry as a baby? How do we know that? Well, John 1, verse 14 helps us. The Word, referencing Christ who was in the beginning with God, John 1, 1, the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. That one word flesh speaks loudly, doesn't it? Because it tells us that God was now human and walked in the flesh. And Christians later were warned that if you do not believe that Jesus Christ came in the flesh, that you are teaching false doctrine if you teach that you do not believe that Jesus came in the flesh. That's how serious it was. Because the central focus of what we have revealed to us, it starts in Luke 1 and goes all the way through, is that Jesus came to this world in the flesh. What does that mean for us? How many of you can quote this verse? "For we have not a high priest that cannot be touched with the feelings of our," what? "Infirmities." How is it that Jesus understood humanity and what man goes through? It's because of what is said right here. The Word became flesh. How many of y'all are 8 years old? Okay, Caitlin's 8 years old and John raised his hand. Mentally, we're talking physically. How many of you are 9? 10? 11? There we go. Was Jesus 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11? Yes. What was Jesus at 8, 9, 10, and 11? A kid. He was in the flesh, wasn't he? He walked this earth just like Alex walks this earth. Well, maybe not exactly, because Alex may walk a little bit differently. But yet, we know Jesus walked in the flesh. Now, let's go quickly to the shepherds. They were in the same country, so we have a location. Shepherds living out in the fields. That gives us an indication that the time of year was not probably this time of year, because they were out where the grass was. Keeping watch over their flock by night. And so they're out there as shepherds. The sheep are probably eating all day, and they're likely down for the count. They're watching because they don't want them to strive, and more importantly, they're protecting them. And so they're keeping watch. And also, during that time, they're listening. They're listening for the howl of the wolves because they want to protect the flock. And of course, we know what happens because we read it. An angel of the Lord stood before them. And they're told not to be afraid. They're given information about the tidings, the good news. And then they're told there's in the city of David a Savior. They would have known where that city was. And this is not just anybody. This is now Christ the Lord. And then they're told that this will be a sign to you that you're going to go find that babe. And how are they going to discover that babe? He's going to be wrapped up in what? Swaddling clothes, and they didn't buy those at Walmart. And where is he going to be lying? And that would not be the place you'd normally want to find a baby, would it? A feeding trough. It also tells us why there wasn't lions and bears and tigers there, because you don't put a baby out in a feeding trough and feed it to lions, tigers, and bears. So he's lying in the manger. And then they hear the host, the heavenly host, verse 14, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill towards men. Now, that's heavenly peace, isn't it? But that peace would only come because Jesus would go to the cross and do what? Die to give us peace by breaking down the wall of partition that separated us so that Jew and Gentile could be what? One in Christ Jesus. But it wasn't such a silent night for Mary and Joseph either. Because who visits? Not the wise men, the shepherds. They come to visit. You get a knock on the door, right? You ever had anybody visit you? Yeah, you get a knock on the door, or the doorbell, ding-a-ling. Of course, there wasn't a door to knock on necessarily that we read about. There was no doorbell, we know that, because it hadn't been around invented exactly. They may have had something to ring with, but we don't know that either. But they get a visit. And how many visited Jesus? How many? It just simply says shepherds, so that tells us that it was more than one in this particular case. So they said to one another, let's us, and there's the indication of the plural, go to Bethlehem and see this thing that's come to pass. And so they go to visit. And when someone comes to visit, can you say to them, well, y'all just sit down and I'm going to go back to sleep? We want a silent night. What happens when someone comes to visit? You actually have to give them some recognition. You have to do some things like converse. And so they go to visit Jesus. When they see him, they make wide known this thing which was told them concerning the child. But then the scripture goes on, verse 18, and those who heard it marveled at those things which were told them by the shepherds. But Mary kept all these things, pondered them in her heart. So was she a part of listening to the shepherds? That's what we read when we look at this. So here they come, they see the baby, and there appears to be some conversation, which would obviously not be conducive to the silence. Now, we're going to end pretty quick here, because this is an application now. Why was this not so silent night? It was not so silent because Jesus being born was not like any other baby. God's in the flesh, and he's the Savior of the world. In Luke 2, begin in the latter part of the chapter, we're looking at verse 22. The days of her purification according to the law of Moses were completed. They go from that point, they go to Jerusalem. to present this baby to the Lord as required. And there was a man there by the name of Simeon. And he was a devout man, waiting for the consolation of Israel, Scripture says, and the Holy Spirit was upon him. Verse 26, it had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ. How many of y'all noticed the question on the slides earlier? Here's your answer. Simeon is told that he would not see death until he saw the Lord's Christ. What an amazing thing. When the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him according to the custom of law, he took him up in his arms and blessed God. And what did he say? Lord, now you are letting your servant depart in peace according to your word, for my eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared before the face of all peoples, a light to bring revelation to the Gentiles and the glory of your people, Israel. These words would ring and ring and ring. And it wasn't about silence, was it? Because this Jesus was not simply a man, but much, much greater. It's interesting in verse 33 that Joseph and his mother marveled at these things which were spoken of him. That's not silence, is it? These were words that were extremely important. And Simeon blessed them and said to Mary, the mother, behold, the child is destined for the fall and rising of many in Israel, and for a sign which will be spoken against. Some people did not want to hear through the silence the words ring that this is the Lord. Many rejected. But then verse 35 says, as we looked at this morning, a sword will pierce through your own soul also, talking to Mary, and the thoughts of many hearts, that the thoughts of many hearts may be revealed. The impact of this baby born in the manger was to sound to the world accountability. That all men would face judgment. That all men would answer with words before an Almighty God. And that the thoughts of many, their hearts would be revealed. We read that the Word of God is quick and powerful and sharpening two-edged sword. Words spoken, words read from God's Word pierce the heart. And that's exactly what we see happen in Acts chapter 2. Peter preaches, speaks of the Jesus who was born in the flesh, who became the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, of course. And after preaching that Jesus is both Lord and Christ, they heard this and they were cut to the heart. And said to Peter and the rest of the apostles, men and brethren, what shall we do? Have you ever fallen asleep somewhere like in school? And somehow the teacher's still speaking, but you're... But then all of a sudden the teacher says something important, very loudly. And she might even say, Josh and Easton. She hasn't, Easton said he hadn't experienced that. Alice, you've never heard those words either, have you? So those words are heard. And what happens in that sleep? Those are words that can almost cut you in two because they shock you out of your sleep. Well, tonight, I believe that because of what's revealed, there was more than just a silent night. There was a loud silence that was broken by what happened that very night. And because of what happens in Acts 2, people were cut to the heart and they were told what to do because they asked the question, what should we do? And Peter said, simply repent and be baptized for remission of sins. And you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit, and then the promise is to you and to your children, to all who are afar off. What sounded in the days of the birth rang and sounded for multiple generations and still does, doesn't it? Therefore, it's time for a question. Is it time for you to no longer yourself be silent? Because you see, Christianity is about a confession. And that confession is not words of silence, is it? It's words that say, yes, I believe that Jesus is the Christ. And words that then, therefore, mean more than just words. It means a change of our life. And so tonight, is it time for you to no longer be silent? Do you need to obey the gospel? The invitation is yours tonight. If we can help you in any way, why not make it known as David stands and leads us in the invitation song.